This episode sponsored by Lease End. Before you return your leased car, stop. You could be handing back the exact car you should keep. If you already love the car in your driveway, Lease End makes buying it out simple. No dealership pressure, no back and forth, just a straightforward way to keep the car you already know and trust. Tell Lease End what you're driving, and Lease End handles the financing, so you can buy it out quickly, often with better terms than the dealership. Why give back the car you already love? With Lease End, you can keep what's already yours in every way that matters. Visit leaseend.com. That's leaseend.com before your lease is up. Lease End. Keep the car. Skip the dealership.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better.
Geraldo.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Girl, set you hallelujah. Girl, set you hallelujah. Girl, set you hallelujah. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
I don't think it exactly qualifies as Uptown Funk, but driving down from the Upper East Side, I drove down Fifth Avenue. First of all, it's an unmistakably early spring day. Even though it's chilly and a little gray today, I think we beat winter, finally. Thank God I survived another winter. I didn't think I would for a while, but I did. But driving down Fifth Avenue, back to my point, you get the unmistakable sign of spring. Why? Because cars are already banned on the big avenue, on the Grand Boulevard of New York. Runs alongside the east side of Central Park. Cars already banned. The grandstand in front of the headquarters there of the Children's Zoo. Getting ready for the big St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow. And I tell you, I didn't even think I was going to talk about it today, but I am still upset about the end of nostalgia when it comes to the St. Paddy's Day parade, because despite the presence of the popular New York Archbishop, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, as the Grand Marshal of the St. Paddy's Day parade, it is still fractured over this issue of whether or not gays and lesbians will be adequately or appropriately represented. Now, I absolutely get religious tradition. I absolutely get the desire of the parade committee to keep St. Paddy's Day, the march at least, as a testament to traditional values. But I have to say that I really miss the days. I mean, I've been part of this St. Paddy's Day parade, I mean, as a celebrant for many, many years. And I miss the days before politics. Now you have the mayor boycotting again, because the organizers are refusing to admit more than one gay rights group. Even Boston, I mean, Boston has more per capita Irish people than New York does. And in Boston, and they had their parade yesterday, they had the Boston Pride, the LGBT rights group, and the Out Vets. They had two gay rights groups marching. Why the hell can't we get this together? Come on. My Irish brothers and sisters, welcome everybody. Everybody, it's everybody. That's what the slogan used to be when I was growing up. No, today, everybody is Irish. Why can't the gays be Irish? Why can't the lesbians be Irish? Why this single-minded stubbornness to admit the world has changed? And even if you don't agree with it, allow people to march in the damn parade, be celebrating everything Irish. It's just, it is disheartening that even this, even a parade and a day which is for revelry, and it really is the end of winter. I mean, more than anything else, It's the end of winter. So everybody's Irish, everybody's wearing green, everybody is putting one down. And if you don't drink, you're at least celebrating or doing whatever it is that you do. And to have Cardinal Dolan there and to have the mayor not there, I mean, that sucks to me. I don't get that. And I don't think de Blasio's doing the Irish folks any favors. What, James, in Long Island, what's up?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. What's doing?
I thought the whole controversy was the fact that they want to carry banners, and it's a tradition that nobody carries banners.
But everyone has. Don't they have, like, a Jackson High School marching band banners?
Yeah, I mean, like,
what's the difference?
Fine.
Who cares about a couple of banners?
No,
let them march.
I don't.
What are you afraid you're
going to
catch it? You're not going to catch it. If you're not gay, you're not going
to
be.
Well, if you
gay.
Go to jail, there's always that chance you could catch it.
Yeah, that's right, according to Dr. Ben Carson. No, I'm sorry. I'm not into Paul. What? Thanks for calling.
Geraldo, St. Patty's Day is about being Irish, not sexual gender.
But why can't the group? What do you care what the
groups are in a Puerto Rican Day Parade?
Well, you could have gays in the Puerto Rican.
Well, there is one group.
The Puerto Rican Day Parade.
There's one.
There is one gay banner. There will be. Let's not say there's not going to be any representation of the gay community. There is. There's going to be a banner. NBC Universal, which NBC is the one that broadcasts tomorrow's parade, will have a gay banner, a banner that represents lesbian, gay, bisexuals, and transgendered Irish folk who will march down or up Fifth Avenue.
I
tomorrow.
Think that
so there is representation.
Anyone who wants to march, let them march. I mean, what are we going to start, saying, don't Protestant Irish march also? I mean, the orange people, don't they have a big day also? Everybody, even the Protestant Irish, consider, you know, this their big day? I think they do. What, Mike? Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, great speaking to you, Geraldo. How are you?
Thank you. I'm glad you're calling.
So in Dublin, Ireland, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is an Irish cultural event in which the gays and lesbians are welcome, and they do march and have been marching.
Listen to
that. In New York City, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is a Catholic-sponsored, long 200-year-running tradition parade celebrating the life of St. Patrick himself, and as such, it's founded on church doctrine.
I understand what you're saying, Mike, and I appreciate it and I honor it. My dad, of course, Catholic, me half Catholic. I've been marching in that parade more or less almost my whole life, and I totally understand the principles involved. But it's like the Feast of San Gennaro. It's one of these quasi-religious events that the religion part of it is not the main focus. I mean, go to Mass if you want to. That's great. Go to, pray to anyone that you want to pray to. But it's a day to celebrate Irishness more than Catholicism. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't know. Bobby, what do you think?
Geraldo, from a kid who used to march in that parade and was raised Catholic, what does it matter?
What does it matter?
Symbols,
that's exactly my point.
One of the symbols of Irish lore is that there's a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow.
There you go.
If you look hard enough, you can see rainbow flags all through the parade. Is that not a symbol of the LGBTYNPDFDYR?
We're running out of letters. All right, Bobby, thanks. All right, I just want you to know how I feel about it. The Dow is up over 170, which means I could pay for my time off. I got to tell you about that in a second. Wait, everybody in Rikers. Ray is on the line. What's up, Ray?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Good morning.
Good, good, good.
Listen, this is my thing. They're in already. I have many wonderful officers that are gay. My best friend's gay. He's been married way before the whole marriage thing. Wonderful person. Fantastic people. This is my thing. They're in.
They're in. Absolutely. So, Ray, let me ask you. What did you think when Dr. Ben Carson said that people are straight and then they go to jail and get turned gay by jail?
That was an ignorant comment, brother. That was ignorant. I'm sorry.
All right.
You're born like that. You know, listen, you want to hear my theory in reference to gay marriage? Everybody should be miserable if you want to be miserable.
One thing I have to say, private schools are already off. Today is the first day of spring break for private schools. It's still a couple of weeks off for your kids in public school because you do the Passover Easter break, which makes sense. I don't understand why the private schools do it so early. Maybe just to beat the public school break and to not have everyone off at the same time. Maybe it's just logistics. I don't know.
I think it's a college prep thing because when you go to a college prep school, they want you to have sort of college-like vacations. They tend to be longer and they tend to be the same time college breaks are.
Ah, how about that? Having four other children, I had no idea. Now Sol is off. We're going down to visit Grandma Lil in Sarasota. I just, I don't want to ask you for more of your emotional reservoir, but my mom, 95 years old, did so well recovering from that hip replacement surgery in Sarasota. She was in rehab, and I just got a call from my sister Sharon that Grandma Lil tried to get up by herself, fell down, and broke something else.
And then
you deal with stuff. At 95 years old, you know, it's like every other family facing this. What do you do? You know, what do you do? I just don't know. I'm beside myself. I'm going to visit my mom
later.
Back
in the hospital
today.
Again?
Back in the hospital, yeah. Back in the hospital. And they don't know what to do now. It's just such a... Anyway, I appreciate it. Throw a prayer my way. I don't care what religion you are, and I don't care whether you're gay or straight. I'll take the prayer anyway. There's so much going on here. At the bottom of the hour, the former Westchester County District Attorney Janine Pirro will be joining me. Janine investigated the early disappearance. You know, Robert Durst, who apparently confessed last night on HBO to the murders, the three murders, said he did them all. Well, his first murder alleged was the disappearance of his wife, Kathy. She went missing in Westchester back in 1982. Janine investigated that. Janine actually was a central figure in the Jinx, the HBO series that Noam's been singing the praises of. And my goodness, who expected this dramatic conclusion where the guy who is suspected in three murders says he did them all on tape? So the question is whether or not that admission will be, whether the courts will admit that confession, if that was what it was, in the ongoing murder trial and its probative value, if any. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the kid arrested in Ferguson, Missouri for lobbing a couple of shots. He says he was aiming at somebody else, hit the cops by accident. Yeah. Netanyahu in real trouble in the elections in Israel. I want to talk about that. What John Kerry said about Senator Tom Cotton, the senator for 60 odd days who wrote a love letter to Iran. A lot going on today. I want you to join me as we go through this ride together. 866 Geraldo. We'll be back. It's 18 minutes after 10 o'clock.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories only on 77 WABC.
24 minutes after 10 o'clock, a lot of people want to talk about gays and the St. Paddy's Day parade. I say let anybody who loves the Irish, who loves Ireland, let them march. What difference does it make? I think the mayor is making a mistake boycotting the parade. He is being just as stubborn as the parade organizers. I don't like it. I just want everybody to just celebrate the green, celebrate the orange, if that's what turns you on. I just think it's a time for inclusion, not exclusion. Here's Jack in Brooklyn. What are you thinking about, Jack? Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning, Geraldo. You mentioned the Orange Order. I would just like to say the Orange Order is to Irish Catholics what the Ku Klux Klan is.
Oh, that's pretty bad. But what about Protestant Irish? Aren't they welcome?
Sure, they're welcome, just like gays are welcome. But
you're saying that the Protestants are as much a minority as the gays? I don't want to refight the troubles.
No, we don't want to refight the troubles. But the idea is that America was a place where the Irish could come and celebrate their Catholicism without being attacked.
I'm all for that. But isn't that my point, Jack? It is historically accurate to say that the Irish left the United Kingdom or the not so United Kingdom because of oppression of Catholics. So if you left for religious oppression, don't you think it is ironic that you would be excluding another minority group from the big parade?
But they're not being excluded, Geraldo. Gays have been marching this parade probably for 250 something years. There's always been gay
people. Well, what do you think about the mayor boycott?
I think the mayor kind of reminds me, like Maggie Thatcher, kind of rubbed off on him. I mean, he seems to have some type of, I don't want to call it prejudice, big against the Irish. Look at the Irish horse carriage drivers. I mean, he's kind of... I hate to make that accusation.
But isn't he Catholic? The mayor is Catholic, isn't he?
Well, I think he was baptized Catholic. I don't know if he's a practicing Catholic.
I haven't heard much about him showing up at Mass. That may be true. Jack, I appreciate it, but I just wish people would loosen up a little bit. Here, Rob, what's up, Rob?
Yes, I don't think the age should be marching in the Irish parade.
Why not, Rob?
I'm a Catholic. I consider myself a hardcore Catholic. You know, in the Bible, it quotes that man shall not lie with man. I don't believe that the lifestyle should be promoted.
But let's just debate this one second. Now, the parade organizers are allowing the NBC group, what is it again, though?
NBC Universal, the company that owns NBC, they're going to march all under one banner, lesbian, gay, transgender.
And not just people who work for the network.
No, I think it's people who just work for the network.
Okay. All right. So, Rob, the parade organizers are allowing this one group, I mean, in for a penny, in for a pound, eh?
They shouldn't allow any of them to march. If you sit there and openly say that you're gay, you shouldn't be allowed to march if the organizers of the parade don't want you in there. I mean, this whole thing with disrespect and tolerance, it's out of control. I don't have to respect you. You need to earn my respect. The only thing I have to do is tolerate you as a human being. I don't have to tolerate your beliefs, okay? I don't believe in the gay lifestyle. I think it's an abomination.
But Rob, don't you think they are as Irish? I'm just assuming that you're of Irish descent. Don't you think if they are, that they are as Irish as you?
If you're Irish, march, okay? But if you march as a gay Irish or you march as a black Irish, take the preference of what you're into out of it and you're just Irish. I don't need to know if you're gay. That's none of my business. But once you start promoting that lifestyle to the youth of America, I feel it's my responsibility as a Catholic to get involved and speak my mind and to say, you know,
okay, I got you. I got you. And that is a smart person and a intelligently expressed point of view, not my point of view, but I totally get where he's coming from. Mike, what are you thinking about?
Hey, good morning, Geraldo. Mike here. First of all, let me say my thoughts and prayers are with you and your mom and your family.
Oh, thank you very much, my brother.
The reason I'm calling is I am a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians who does put on the parade every year. The Ancient Order of Hibernians, to become a member, you're taking an oath to defend the Catholic faith. And as such, it's a private organization. It's not... I know you see everything.
I gotta let you go there, brother. I'm sorry. Call back later. All right, 866 Geraldo.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866 Geraldo. 77 WABC.
She's one of the American Idol people, right?
She was the one who won the first season of American
Idol.
The
first season?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago. So Oscar Wilde, my favorite gay Irish dramatist, he wrote The Picture of Dorian Gray, which I always say I have in my house.
Right.
You know, the portrait ages and you stay the same.
Right.
He wrote, here. Men always want to be a woman's first love. Women like to be a man's last romance. That's Oscar Wilde. So Jeanine Pirro, the former Westchester County District Attorney, my sweet mate at Fox News, dear friend, played a big role in the Jinx, the HBO series that may have led to the arrest for murder of Robert Durst, the billionaire fruitcake son of the Durst real estate dynasty. Jeanine joins us right now. How are you?
Terrific. How are you?
So are you like doing high fives right now? I mean, you did a great job. And now after all the frustration you suffered in this case, after you reopened it, the missing wife, Kathy Durst, way back in the 80s, you reopened the case, went nowhere. How do you feeling today?
Well, you know, I mean, it was always clear to me that Kathleen Durst, the wife of the real estate scion Robert Durst, you know, was murdered by her husband. And she didn't just disappear off the face of the earth. She was a fourth-year medical student. And as I dug into this cold case, from 17 years earlier, it was clear to me that she wanted a divorce, that Robert Durst was beating her physically, and she suddenly disappears. And it was not investigated properly in 1982. Durst did everything he could to make sure that people believed she was in New York City. I believe because he thought he could get away with it if he just had the investigation in New York City. And as you watch The Jinx, that HBO special that Andrew Jarecki did, I mean, it's clear that New York City handled it like a bunch of bumbling fools. And, you know, so at least now, as a result of what these guys did with that documentary, and my hat's off to Andrew Jarecki and Mark Smerling, there is now an indictment in L.A. for Robert Durst, murder in the first degree, for the killing of his dear friend, Susan Berman, in December of 2000. Now, how does that relate to the first wife? It's very simple. Susan Berman was Robert Durst's spokesperson at the time that Robert Durst's wife went missing. Susan Berman knew too much. My investigators were scheduled to come out and speak to her. We knew that she spoke for Robert. And she is then shot execution style in the back of the head, clearly unable to speak to us. But now, fast forward 15 years, Robert Durst pretty much hung himself. It's by his own words, by his own handwriting. I think that the jig is finally up for this guy.
Jeanine Pirro, my guest, the Westchester County District Attorney. But let's take these three murders sequentially. First, you go back to the missing wife. Now, you don't have a body. You don't really have any evidence there. Do you concede, Jeanine, that the murder or the disappearance of Kathy Durst is going nowhere as a criminal investigation?
Well, right now, I can't say what exactly is going on in Westchester, but I can tell you when I left that office and I made a decision, you know, to do something else after 30 years in law enforcement, that case was wide open. I don't know what they've done with it. But here's the thing, Geraldo, you know, this Durst now seems to be in a situation where he wants to talk, and he is spilling his guts. He may not realize it, but he's saying a lot of things.
Well, that's a whole other issue, why he decided to do the documentary. I just want to go through the other murder. The one in the middle was the one where he had a neighbor, I guess, in Texas that he chopped up.
No, that was the third one.
That was the third one, but he was acquitted on that, so he can't be tried on that one.
Right, right. And make no mistake that that murder of his neighbor in Galveston, Texas, Morris Black, you know, the body, he chopped that body up, and it was the body when it floated up to the shores of the Galveston Bay. The people realized what was going on. And you know, Galveston had done a great job on the investigation, but the $2 million in a defense team hired by this wealthy Robert Durst was able to convince a half-wit jury that...
I agree. He dismembers the guy and gets off on a self-defense defense. It's amazing.
No, the defense is, if you watch The Jinx, that Jeanine Pirro, this girl from New York, had convinced everyone that he was a murderer of his own wife. Therefore, he could not say, I killed this guy in self-defense. He had to chop his body up because of Jeanine Pirro. No one would believe him. And they actually had a juror just recently say, oh, yeah, I believe Jeanine Pirro forced this guy to, you know, dress up.
So you're the culprit. Now let's go to the murder of Susan Berman. What corroborating proof is there that he was even in San Francisco to kill Susan Berman?
Well, we know that he was in California, and through his own words, he says in The Jinx, he kind of smirks.
It's a big state.
Yeah, it's a big state. But here's the thing. Susan Berman is found dead in her apartment as a result of a note that's sent to the Beverly Hills police. And it says cadaver with the address of where Susan Berman lives. Now, that note is written in block letters. L.A. did handwriting exemplars with Robert Durst and said, oh, no, he didn't write that. And then these guys, Jarecki and Smerling and The Jinx, they unearthed a letter written by Robert Durst with his own pre-printed return address that is precisely the same to anyone looking at it in the block letters, with the word Beverly spelled wrong in both the cadaver note saying, you know, she's dead in this place, as well as in the letter that Robert Durst wrote. So in that in the finding of that letter 15 years later or 14 years later, what we have is Robert Durst, who pushed the envelope too far by speaking, thinking he could get away with it. Now we've got the letters. We've got the misspelling. We've got him in California. We've got a motive. The motive was that my guys were coming out to talk to him, to talk to her about the role in the Susan Berman case. And here comes the real issue. She was destitute. She needed money. And so Robert Durst had sent her 50 grand. We were monitoring the money. And at the end of the day, he knew that she knew too much. She was a spokesperson. She actually was the one who called the dean, we believe, saying her name was Kathleen Durst and she couldn't come to school because she was sick that day. So it is a bizarre case, but it all, you know.
And you think you have a reasonable chance of conviction?
Well, other than the venue, L.A., I would think they would. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's not just his saying, you know, of course I killed them. It's saying, you know, yeah.
Is that admissible, by the way?
Yeah, I think so, and I'll tell you why. He had agreed in writing every time he sat down with Jarecki. And in addition to that, he did not, hold on. Sorry about that. He did
not. You get a better offer on the other line?
No, I'm just trying to stop it. And by the way, he wasn't in custody. He wasn't being interrogated. It was a spontaneous declaration, and he had an experience earlier, Geraldo, of actually speaking under his breath while the mic was hot. And his lawyer said, you know, you talk him while your mic's on. And so, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, the only issue is, you know, whether it's a one-party state, he knew that he was wired. I don't want to hear that he didn't. And I think it's all there. I really do. And there's so much more, Geraldo, but not time to get into it. But here's the real problem. You had the Durst organization, and I had these people on my show last night, not the Durst, but the McCormicks, Kathleen Durst family. And never once did that Durst organization or family try to help them. You know, they were not in the financial position that the Durst organization was to try to find their daughter, their sister. And, you know, now we find out that it's the Durst had hired Nick Scapetta as a defense attorney within days of Kathleen being missing. So there's a lot more questions to be
answered. It's definitely the moral of the story is that rich people get a different defense than poor people do. And I think that it's not unexpected that he can beat these charges too, given the legal technicalities involved. But you did a great job, Janine, and you were great on the show, on the Jinx, and I'm proud to have you as a colleague and a friend. Janine Pirro, Judge Janine, every 9 o'clock every Saturday and Sunday on the Fox News Channel, and she's been everywhere with this, and rightfully so. And Janine, congratulations. Thank you.
Bye bye. Right.
You know, he still beats it.
You think so?
He still beats it. Why? Because, you know, you get their handwriting expert says it's the same block letters.
It is, though, if you see
the other handwriting expert says, no, there's a different emphasis on the wrong syllable. And, you know, it's going to be that's not proof of murder. I'm sorry. It's not. You're not going to get.
But how about the fact that he admitted?
What was he admitting?
Walking to the bathroom.
It's not like he said, I killed them all. I really think that what you're going to have is a huge disappointment. Anyway, it's 48 minutes after. That's all the time I'm going to spend on that one. I want to go back to the St. Paddy's Day parade. I have to get to the Middle East. I am beside myself in frustration that I think that John Kerry, the Secretary of State, he may be a schlemiel. He may be one of those Ivy League guys with no real-world experience. But he is absolutely right when he says of Senator Tom Cotton, God bless Senator Cotton, that he's a veteran of Iraq and a veteran of Afghanistan. He was a 60-day senator when he wrote the letter to Iran, to the leaders of Iran, telling them, you know, don't believe what the president says. And what's his name? Bob Schieffer on CBS had the greatest question for Senator Cotton. He said, now that you've written Iran, what's next? You're going to write to the leaders of North Korea? I mean, please. I mean, is that the way we're going to govern? Now you hate Obama so much that every Tom, Dick, and Harry senator – is going to be conducting his own foreign policy. That and the Israeli elections.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
We're talking parade. We're talking the St. Paddy's Day parade, that is, and the whole notion that the mayor is boycotting because gays aren't openly welcome. Many on the parade side say that the parade has done enough already. I think that all distinctions should be dropped. That's just me, but I'll take your calls on that as the show progresses. Also, this conflict between the executive branch and the legislative branch of the American government when it comes to how to deal with foreign governments, including those in the troubled Middle East. We'll deal with that. Big election in Israel tomorrow. John Voight, actor, old pal of mine, he's really gone over the top. I think he said in a commercial, he did a commercial for Bibi Netanyahu, and he said that that President Obama doesn't love Israel, which reminded everybody of when Rudy Giuliani said the president doesn't love America. The president responded in the Gridiron Club dinner by saying, if I didn't love America, I wouldn't have moved here from Kenya.
That's pretty good.
That's the way to deal with these things. But we'll talk about the Israeli election. We'll take your calls at 866-HERALDO. So much to say, so little time. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Woke up an optimist. Sun was shining, I'm positive.
We can run.
Then I heard you was talking trash.
I fought a mystery.
Hold me back, I'm about to spaz.
Yeah, I'm about 4 or 5 seconds from wildin'. Friday, I'm trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would drive. Ooh, that's all I want. And I know.
You know, Heather Mills, who was married to Paul McCartney, who's heard on that that song with Kanye West and Rihanna. Heather Mills, you know, the one-legged lady who was married to him, she said that kids have never heard of a guy named Paul McCartney, and the only reason he's singing with Kanye West and Rihanna is so people will remember him.
I actually have a little bit of that interview. You want to hear what she said?
Sure.
That's the thing. If I go down the street, all I get is kids coming up to me. Half of them don't even know who he is. That's why he's got to do songs with Rihanna and Kanye West so people remember.
Okay.
But, you know, most of the time I have people come down the street and say, oh, my God, are you a ski racer? Or, you know, or you help the animals. Or, you know, I own the biggest vegan company in the world. Most of the money I do goes into helping animals, disabled kids,
sure.
Landmine clearing charities. You know, things that are changing.
What do
the
I care about Heather Mills?
Why wait,
well, I just said I had the audio if you wanted it. I don't care either. But she goes on to say he wrote a couple good songs in the 70s
he
and the 60s.
Good songs. Yeah. Paul McCartney. Yeah. Heather Mills. I mean, how long was he married to her? Like 10 minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that crazy courtship. You know, I didn't mean for today to be St. Patrick's Day Parade review, but I mentioned at the top of the program at 10 o'clock and the lines lit up. So I think that I would be remiss if I didn't allow you to tell me how you feel about what is going on. Mayor Bill de Blasio boycotting again. What about the city council? Are they staying away again because of the...
I imagine the top officials, they did.
Mark Viverito, the city council speaker, she led the city council delegation. I guess individual members may have marched, but all of them protesting the tepid inclusion of one gay group representing the NBC Universal family, but others are excluded. You know, so I think this is what got people going. I long for the days when the St. Paddy's Day parade was everybody being Irish. Everybody is Irish today. Everybody is the Shamrocks. Everybody is that beautiful, embracing tradition of inclusion. I lament that this debate even exists, particularly when you have Cardinal Dolan as the Grand Marshal. I don't know when the last time the New York Archbishop was the Grand Marshal of the parade. I think that's a pretty big deal, you know, and I wish it was otherwise. Maybe I'm being naive, but I wish it was otherwise. Yeah, Kevin in Long Island, what are you thinking about, folks? 866-RALDO, 866-437-2536. I got a lot of ground to cover, but I want to, I don't want to be, you know, remiss when it comes to allowing you to speak about the St. Paddy's Day Parade. Kevin, you're first.
Thanks a lot, Araldo. First, I want to mention that real Irish people would never say St. Paddy's Day, my friend. It's always St. Patrick's Day Parade.
I'll note that, and from now on, we'll never again say it in the abbreviated fashion.
And I know that you care about that. I've been watching you from Willowbrook through The Apprentice.
I care deeply about not offending people who are Irish.
And also, let me share with you this is, you know, I don't think that the parade committee cares that the mayor's not in the parade, and I'll tell you why. The mayor, first of all, went against the Irish community when he tried to get rid of the handsome carriages. He went against the Irish community when he went against the police, and now he's going against them again with this parade. And I think a lot of the leadership of the Irish community in New York thing.
Kevin, listen to this. I want to read you something, Kevin, and I want you to react to it, okay?
Because yes, sir, please. Thank you.
I mean, you know, everybody at Fox is Irish. Everybody. I mean, the top seven guys are Irish. My boss, Rupert Murdoch, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. I live and work and have prospered thanks to Irish Catholic Americans. But here is what the head of the online gay publication in Ireland said. He said, the organizers of the parade stand at odds with most Irish people. This is because American Irish have a romanticized view of their country of origin, conflicting with modern Ireland's smartphone, Twitter, Instagram generation. They love talking about their great-grandmother in Dublin and still think that Ireland is all white, all Catholic, and very, very conservative. However, Ireland has a much more liberal, continental attitude these days towards social issues than Irish Americans do. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think that's a great statement, but I'll share with you. I've been to Ireland 17 times. My parents were born there. And I'll share with you, Harald. I am a gay Irish Catholic American.
Dude, you buried the lead.
I know, right? And I'll tell you this. The parade back under the years when Mr. Frankie Burney, God rest his soul, ran the parade, he, as I understand it, he wanted to say that the gay community should be treated like everyone else and wait online and take their turn because there's a waiting list to get in the parade. And I think that's the way it all should have been handled versus all this politics and all this upsetness. And you know what? I live my life quite openly within the Irish community about being a gay married man. My husband is Chinese. You know, and I'm very well accepted.
You can march in all kinds of parades.
I know, right? We're all there. But really, and I'll tell you, I believe, just to close, because you got many other people to speak to.
I do.
You know, that the fact that the Cardinal is in the parade, that's what we all want. And I, as a gay Irish American, I'm proud to have our Cardinal
in
the parade.
All right, I'm proud that he's marching too. Kevin, I appreciate the call, and believe me, I appreciate your being honest and open about your own situation. Here's Barney. Hey, Barney, what's up?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Listen, earlier in your show today, you mentioned that St. Patrick's Day is a day to celebrate your Irish pride.
Right.
And it's not a day to celebrate your gay pride. There's a parade to celebrate that. And there's a misconception that gay people were never invited to march in the parade. They have always been. They can march with their Gaelic Society, their Hibernians, their Emerald Society. They can wear their rainbow ribbons, and they can march in any group they want. It's just that if you want to march under a gay banner, you march in a gay pride parade. If you want to celebrate your Irish pride, you march with an Irish
pride. Let me ask you this, Barney. I'm glad you're on the line. Let me ask you this. Do you think that, last year, my boss was very critical, Murdoch was, of Guinness, you know, stout and, you know, beer. He said that Guinness pulled out of the parade because they've always been in the parade. They pulled out last year. And what Rupert Murdoch said is, when will this end? Guinness pulls out of religious parade, bullied by gay orgs who try to take it over, hope all Irish boycott the stuff, boycott Guinness. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Guinness was just trying to you know, be the best company they can and appeal to all their customers. They don't want to lose a big political group. And make no mistake.
But do you think gays are bullying Irish?
Was Guinness bullying the Irish?
Well, no. Are gay organizations bullying the St. Patrick's Day Parade organization?
Somewhat. They can be, you know, they can be over the top. Look, don't you remember when ACT UP went into the church and knocked the chalice of hosts out of the priest's hand? People don't want to see that.
That doesn't happen anymore. I know.
But make no mistake, the Hibernians aren't inviting the gays to march this year out of inclusion. They don't want to lose that Guinness money. There's no other distance. Now let me bring
up. What are you going to do tomorrow?
I'm going to march in a parade.
Oh yeah, okay, good.
I march with the Animal Society, so I'll be down there marching.
Oh, you a cop?
Yeah, retired cop.
Oh well, good. God bless you.
And if there's a cop next to me wearing an Irish sweater with a rainbow banner on it, I'll shake his hand.
All right. That's what I like to hear. That's what I'm encouraging. I appreciate it, Barney. Thank you for the call. Here's Robert. What's up, Robert, in Connecticut?
Good morning, Ronald. How are you?
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. That guy completely stole my thunder, but I'll try to make a second point. My first point was, of course, gays should be allowed to march, but why the banners? Why the chants? Why the me? Just step in line and march and be quiet like everyone else. Your sexual preference has nothing to do with your ethnicity, and that's what the parades are all about. My second point regarding the mayor, and here's what I think's happening. You made your point about Fox News and the Irish. There's been a war raised on rich old white men, and who represents that group more than the Irish? And the left is just targeting those people, and that's part of the reason I think the mayor's protesting, because he loves his constituents to see this. Thank you.
So, all right. So do you consider Hillary Clinton Irish?
I'm not sure what she is.
Well, I know. Well, Bill Clinton he's totally Irish, right? I mean, he traces his roots to, I remember, doesn't President Obama also have Irish? I think that he does. I think that most presidents, most U.S. presidents have some connection to Ireland more than any other country. In Long Island City, here's Jerry on the line. What's up?
You know, I think de Blasio is like a hypocrite, and here's why. He won't march in this parade, okay, because they won't let gays in. But last week, didn't he go to Cardinal Egan's funeral at St. Patrick's? And he goes...
Yes, he did, of course.
But let me finish. But the Catholic Church won't marry gays. Gays can't become priests. They can't do this.
Well, that's not a bad point. Not a bad. He's not consistent.
If you're going to ignore one thing, ignore it.
I got you. There's a point. He makes a point. If you're going to be critical of the Catholic Church, generally speaking, then be consistent. Why single out the parade? It is a visible way of demonstrating a displeasure. I don't know. I don't want to be a naive kumbaya kind of guy, but I am in this context. I want everybody to be Irish tomorrow. Just everybody. Gay ones and straight ones and tall ones and fat ones and handsome ones and beautiful ones and not so beautiful. Everybody. Black ones and white ones. And everybody. Every Puerto Rican, I want to be Irish tomorrow. 17 minutes, 18 minutes after. I'll do a little more of this, but I've got to get on to the Middle East. You got this big election. It's tomorrow, right?
It is, yeah.
Netanyahu's still trailing, right?
Four seats down. His party is down by four seats.
And Netanyahu said that he's not going to yield an inch of occupied territory. I've been telling you that, till I'm blue in the face. Nobody listens to me.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day. 77 WABC.
The Iditarod dog sled race, the 1,000-mile sled dog race in Alaska is going on right now. A guy named Aaron Burmeister is leading. Susan Butcher, I remember we profiled on 2020. Susan Butcher was the first female who had a realistic chance of winning. She ultimately won the race, not the year I covered her, but some years later. But I remember it because she lived in this little tiny town in Alaska. Really, I mean, Alaska generally is rural, and then when you go into the sticks of Alaska, you're about as far away from anything as you can be. So anyway, she was being I don't know why I just thought of this. I guess because of the, obviously, the Iditarod race is on. And I went to her hometown to profile Susan Butcher. And there was this drunken guy. He happened to be an Eskimo guy or, I don't know, a Native American. I don't know what the proper expression is. I don't want people get mad at me for that. But he had an alcohol problem and he was the town bully. And he came over to Susan's home. And we were there, and he was harassing her like crazy. So I stood up to him, and he pushed me or something, and I ended up hitting him, and he fell down. It was just like a lucky shot. He fell down, and he had me. He was trying for months to have me arrested, and they didn't arrest me. And then he tried for months to get a lawyer in Anchorage to sue me for assault, but he had such a bad reputation of being such a bully that nobody would take his case. I remember Susan Butcher just cheering me on. It was just so great. Every time I see the Iditarod trail sled dog race news, I think of that day. It's funny how those stupid things stick in your mind. But anyway, Lou in New York, thanks for calling 866 Rollo. What are you thinking about, Lou? Hello, Lou. What are you playing, the bongos? All right. Elon, thank you for holding on. Elon, what's on your mind in Rockland?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your patience.
Oh, well, it's well worthwhile waiting for you.
Oh, you're such a great guy. What's up?
Well, thank you. I'd like to ask you for something, okay? As you stated very eloquently earlier, there's an election in Israel tomorrow, okay? And I know that you commenting on it on and off as days goes by. And I would appreciate, okay, if you could interview on air the chairperson of the centric party from Israel. The name of the party is Yesh Atid, and the chairperson is Yair Lapid. He is a former finance minister.
No, we know him. We know him. Okay. Noam, do you?
I think he was a TV personality.
Yeah, his dad was.
Right. He used to be a political commentator in an earlier days. Okay, he's very astute. His English is so much better than mine, and I think it would give you a good idea on the flavor of the election.
Well, let me ask you. You have to be a surrogate here, Alan. Which way would he join the Labor for a coalition, or would he be with Likud?
Well, Waldo, I live here for quite a long time here. Whatever I know is what I read in the paper. My understanding, at least that's what he claims, is that he reserves the right to make a decision as things progress here. He states all along that his agenda is for the Israeli people, not for specific job or for specific party, and he's looking for the best of the people in Israel. And if you read and you go on their website, it is in English, okay, and you read what they are striving at, okay, and you can see that you and every open-minded person would agree with a lot of the point which they take.
No, I know his politics, and his politics are pretty solidly centrist. I appreciate the call, Elon. I think that Israel needs to have, and I'm not campaigning here, but I think Bibi Netanyahu has not been good for Israel. I mean, having said that, I launched the bomb there. And I think that Gaza was a terrible mistake. I think it was a war of choice, not a war that was imposed on Israel. I think that Israel is going to have to deal with the fact that over 2,000 Palestinians were killed. The Gazans were killed in that war. 75 Israelis or so lost their life. Most of those were soldiers who, were on part of the ground campaign in Gaza. I just think that, announcements that you're not going to yield any territory to the Palestinians, it kind of belies all the peace process. It just shows that Israel's been two-faced in some ways internationally. You're saying you want a two-state solution. You want the Palestinians to have their country if they comply with certain rules that you've set. And then you say something like you'd never yield an inch of territory to them no matter what. I just don't think that that's good for Israel.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
37 minutes after 11 o'clock. I mentioned how hard this winter has been on my old bones. But imagine if we lived in Boston, though. I mean, 108.6 inches of snow broke all the records. Super Bowls, World Series, Stanley Cups, and snowfall records, tweets the new mayor, Marty Walsh. With truly a title city, there will be no parade. But they did have the St. Paddy's Day parade, and they allowed for the first time a couple of gay and lesbian groups to march. New York having quite a bit of conflict still. Unfortunate. I wish we could move beyond it. The mayor boycotting again. The cardinal is the grand marshal, which makes it doubly unfortunate that the city is not united about it. So we've been taking calls on that this morning and a lot of other things. Before I get to the parade calls, Rick's been holding on a while on a different topic. What's up, Rick? What are you calling about? Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. The New York Times on February 19th reported that the...
Lost him. I don't know what happened to old... was that a crank call? Crash. Oh, what'd he say? Okay. John in New York, what's up?
Oh, hi, Geraldo. I've really enjoyed my exchanges with you in the past, and what I'm about to say I think will probably outrage you, but I've got to tell you this. I'm a student of historical trends, and some of them forward-moving are good, some are bad. Now, 30 or 40 years ago, homosexual behavior in the popular culture was not much condoned. Okay, now it is, and I have an opinion about that one way or the other. My opinion is this. 20 or 30 years from now, I think there may very well be a certain amount of opprobrium for sex between adults and supposedly consenting children. Now, should that happen?
Why that leap, though? I'm not going to let you make that leap. Why would society abandon a taboo that has lasted forever and one that has its roots in you know, some society's basic fabric?
I could say the same thing about homosexuality 30 or 40 years ago, Geraldo. You're a student of history. You know that 40 years ago it was not...
But anyway, what other predictions do you have, John?
Well, I don't have any other predictions, but my question is, should that happen, would you support the right of those adults to march in the...
No, obviously not. I wouldn't support the abuse of children, the abuse of animals, the, freaky things. People know what's permissible. That's what civilization is. You define the rights, and I appreciate the call. You look back on Oscar Wilde. I mentioned Oscar Wilde, the picture of Dorian Gray. You're in the greatest dramatists in the English language, Irish guy, gay guy, driven to suicide, just depression and driven out of business, basically, because of his... The movie about the breaking the Nazi codes, I forget the name of the movie, just recently, Bernard Cumberbatch, a guy that did something, what was it? Imitation Game. To see how people have been made to suffer because of their sexual orientation, which I believe in my heart of hearts is natural. It is, it is as natural as heterosexuality. It's just the minority. I mean, obviously, we're put on earth that we have a biological imperative, men and women. We have an attraction, and that's to keep the race perpetuated with making love and making babies. But they're still, I've always thought, I don't know what the percentage is, I've always thought somewhere, 5% something. I don't know. I mean, just in my own personal experience, I think it's natural. It'll always be there. The question is, do you alter, those equations? Do you, by making it more acceptable, do you make it more popular, more common? I don't know. I don't know the answers to that. I just know that, humanity has made a judgment and that we're going to accept people who are different in terms of sexual orientation, and if they want to march, they want to march. I say, let them march. I don't know. But Lee, your last call I'm going to take on the parade. What's up?
Oh, hi, Geraldo. Thank you for taking my call so much. I have to say first, I really admire many things that you have done in your life,
I seldom agree with you.
Fair enough, but I appreciate that. Sound like my wife, but go ahead.
I think the parade is about being Irish. It's not about being gay. But there's something that has bothered me for many, many years.
What's that?
And that is that the flag, the rainbow flag, was designed by the Rainbow Coalition. It was supposed to be a flag that unified everybody in the world. And in a very short time, it became the gay flag. Why? You know, it's just, sometimes I feel like the gay community is so demanding. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you could be gay, you could be straight, whatever, it's fine with me.
I don't necessarily disagree with the gay establishment. You know, there is, if you get out of line with the gay establishment, if you get them on your back, and many actors have, thank God I never have, I've always been, everybody knows I just want everyone to get along, but... I think there is a, you know, so they speak of the gay mafia. I think that there is a danger of being politically, incorrect and hearing from, these organizations in a way that could be a career killer. I'm not sure that that's what's happening with the St. Patty's Day parade. I don't know. Do you know? What do you think?
That there's a gay mafia?
Then that this is just the latest front that they're picking on old-fashioned Irish Catholics and trying to jam an agenda? Or do you see it as really a civil rights movement that has come of age, gay marriage sweeping the nation now?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a civil rights issue that's definitely moving its way across the nation. But, you know, when I hear people calling in and talking about the fact that their deep Catholic roots have them, that's what makes them oppose the gay and lesbians, transgendered, marching in the march. Well, I guess I say, where is their viewpoint represented? If they're so offended by it and they want to be part of this parade, why doesn't their view count as much as
whose view?
The people who are opposed to having
gay people march.
If they're so opposed and it so offends them, should they have to stay home, or should their view be represented just as well as gay and lesbians who want to march?
Well, I think they are the vast majority of those participating in the parade. I'm not sure that. I bet you if you did a survey of just the, as opposed from the, to the ancient Hibernians and the parade organizers, if you just surveyed Irish Americans just without other qualifications, just Irish Americans of voting age, let's say, I would think that they are as reflective of American public opinion as any other group, and I don't think that they would have as big an issue as the organizers do. And I understand, but I have to hasten to add that the organizers, I don't want to be all over the place with this. The organizers don't want it to be a factionalized parade where you get the gays and you get the, you know, I get in trouble by trying to seeking examples of other groups that would be seeking to define themselves in this parade. But they don't want it to be factionalized. They wanted everybody is Irish today. Everybody marches. Just don't march under your own banner. I get that. But if you've already given the NBC Universal crowd the right to march
under a
banner, so what's the difference? I mean, really, what's the difference? If you have the Bayshore Marching Irish Band and they have their banner, if you can have banners, let people have banners. Who cares? I mean, I don't care. Now, I heard someone, and I don't know if they were suggesting this, is maybe what you do is allow people to wear rainbow lapel pins if they are showing support for gay Irish people. You know, rainbow maybe with the shamrock. You know what I mean?
Right.
Intertwined. I could design the logo. I don't know. And I don't know that I'm being particularly useful with this discussion either.
Well, because I think you see sort of both sides of the coin on this one.
I definitely do. And I don't want people's feelings to be hurt. On the other hand, we have so much to really be concerned about. You got an uptick in shootings. You got murders making a comeback here. You have real racial tension in the country. I loved that everybody was Irish on March 17th, which is my sister Sharon's birthday. I'm born July 4th. My sister's born March 17th. It's and before they changed Columbus Day, my mom was on Columbus Day. But okay. I don't know what the hell I'm talking
about. You're about to go on vacation. That's what's going on here.
Hey, Tony, bail me out. What's up?
Yeah. You know, the government's supposed to be for the people, by the people. Right. You have more lawyers in the House of Representatives.
True.
More lawyers in
more congressmen
Congress.
Lawyers than you do. Absolutely.
So now that means that it's not for the people, by the people. It's for the lawyers, by the lawyers. We cannot compete with a legal system that is a club. There is no constitution. They are the masters of alibi. They are the masters of deconstruction law.
All right, Tony, I got to let you go, but first we kill the lawyers.
Live, local, on it, 866-HERALDO, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Guns Gunzelman is here. We're going to talk about these brackets for a minute or two. Who do you like in these number one seeds? Kentucky, Wisconsin, Villanova, Duke.
I like Wisconsin. Of course, Kentucky is the overall favorite. They're only 19 times has an undefeated team gone into the tournament, and no one's won the whole thing. Complete season undefeated.
We've never had an undefeated season?
No, seven times, but seven out of 19 even going in. So seven times it's happened, but it hasn't happened since 1976 when Indiana did it. So I'm not going for Kentucky to win the whole thing, although they are the clear favorites. The odds have them taking it 6-5.
6-5, that's pretty good.
Yeah, those are great odds.
Great
right
odds. I'm pissed off that they didn't pick Arizona. They picked Wisconsin. I thought that was lame.
Yeah, Wisconsin had a good game yesterday, though, to kind of win it, to kind of bump them over. Wisconsin's lucky because they would probably have to face Kentucky. They're lucky they didn't have to face Kentucky if they got the number two seed. It's going to be crazy, though. The 40 million people are expected to fill out brackets.
Oh, is that so?
40 million people are expected to fill out 70 million brackets and bet $9
billion. $9 billion. Well, I see that St. John's got in. I thought they got stomped by Providence.
They did just the other day. They lost in the Big East to St. John's, in the Big East tournament to Providence, but they were able to pull it off. Also, Manhattan plays tomorrow in the play-in game, so we could also have another local team right there as well getting in.
So Manhattan and St. John's could both be in.
Yep.
Or could both be out in a real hurry.
Right, absolutely.
So who are you picking?
Overall, I like Wisconsin to win it. Gonzaga's always there. Biggest upset, though, I like Buffalo of all teams. Buffalo can go pretty far.
This episode sponsored by Lease End. Before you return your leased car, stop. You could be handing back the exact car you should keep. If you already love the car in your driveway, Lease End makes buying it out simple. No dealership pressure, no back and forth, just a straightforward way to keep the car you already know and trust. Tell Lease End what you're driving, and Lease End handles the financing, so you can buy it out quickly, often with better terms than the dealership. Why give back the car you already love? With Lease End, you can keep what's already yours in every way that matters. Visit leaseend.com. That's leaseend.com before your lease is up. Lease End. Keep the car. Skip the dealership.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.